Let us pray together. God, each of us is on a spiritual journey that will be defined largely by how well we love the people around us, especially those who are closest. God, help us to do better. Teach us something today that will make a difference. In the holy name of Christ, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. What is the single greatest indicator for you and me of our level of spiritual maturity? If we look at Scripture, 1 John 4:8, God is love. The characteristic that defines God more than any other is love. Therefore, 1 John goes on to say that the ultimate test of how well I have come to know God is how well I am loving the people around me. 1 John 4, verse 20 says, those who love God must love their brothers and their sisters also. Those who say, I love God, but hate their brothers and sisters are liars. So the ultimate test of how well I have come to know God at this point in my spiritual journey is how well I am loving the people around me. And of all the relationships that will ever test me in that, the greatest is a spousal relationship. Because when two people become one, when they merge households, finances, bodies, families, future aspirations, there's no hiding. There's no pretending. It's just the real, raw me and the real, raw you, revealed for who we are. And by that measure, how are we doing? I don't know about you, but I need to grow considerably. We all know that spousal relationships are difficult. We all know the statistics that over 50% of the marriages formed in our society, in America, will dissolve. We've all probably known couples that we've loved much who have experienced brokenness. Many of us have experienced brokenness. And when that happens, we find ourselves asking, isn't there something more we could do? I believe the answer to that question is emphatically yes. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at spiritual principles found in the teachings of Jesus and elsewhere that can greatly, I think, increase our chance for successful relationships over a long term. So we're going to begin a sermon series looking at spiritual principles for spousal relationships. And I hasten to point out that all of the principles that we are going to look at in this series, I think, are easily transferable to life's other important relationships with parents, children, brothers and sisters, and dear friends. My spouse, Christian, and I will this year celebrate 12 years of being together, and each year has been better than the next. I'm just kidding. To think about that. I'm just joking about that. By comparison, some of you in our 12 years, with our 12 years, we're just getting started compared to some of you. But I've noticed that whenever I'm in the company of someone who has had a successful long-term relationship, I've always wanted to pick that person's brain, asking, what have you learned that has made this work? A few years ago, I was speaking to a mentor of mine who had been married to his wife for nearly 50 years. And at dinner one evening, I asked, suppose you had a friend who's beginning a new relationship. What's the single most important piece of advice that you could offer as they started this new relationship? What would it be? He thought and he said, I would tell that person that you have to decide whether or not you really want to be in relationship. Now, when I first heard that, I was a little underwhelmed. It seemed like a penetrating glimpse of the obvious. But the more I've thought about it, the richer, the deeper, the wiser it seems. And so this morning, I want all of us to ask that question. Do you really want to be in relationship? And I can hear some people answering that. Oh, yes, John, I dream of the day when I can have a spouse. I picture it in my mind. Every night she will lay her fantastic body next to mine on our bed of silken sheets. When he wakes up in the morning, he won't have bed hair or morning breath. When she gets home at the end of a long day, she will take me by the hand, sit me down on the couch, gaze deeply into my eyes and say, honey, tell me in excruciating detail everything that happened to you today. And then listen with complete attention. Yes, I cannot wait until I'm never lonely again and always happy. And that's exactly how it goes, right? You see, my friend didn't ask, do you want to live on Fantasy Island? He asked, do you want to be in a real, living, earthbound spousal relationship? And it seems to me that that point is incredibly important. In fact, I think it is the initial question we must be prepared to answer if we want to succeed in spousal relationships. When I join my life to that of another human being, as another human being, I am not acquiring a personal fantasy servant who is going to exist as an extension of my every desire. When I join my life with another human being, I am joining with someone who has his own strong will, aspirations, his own hang-ups, his own problems and issues to work on, not to mention all of mine. And the only way something like that is going to work is if those two people are willing to give up a lot in ways both large and small. In Genesis 2:24 this morning, we were given a quick overview of what a spousal relationship looks like. It says that when we enter a spousal relationship, we have to be prepared to leave father and mother. Father and mother there represent life the way we have learned to live it. And if I'm going to merge my life with another, if two are going to become one, then I'm going to have to be prepared to leave much of life as I have known it and discover a whole new way of being with another person. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about becoming a codependent one. I'm not talking about one person becoming the lapdog of another. I'm talking about when two thoughtful, careful adults make a conscious decision to merge their finances, their bodies, their dreams, their goals, their schedules. Are you prepared to give up that much autonomy? Are you prepared to make those kinds of sacrifices? There's no way to make it together if we cannot learn the art of saying no to ourselves and yes to another person, or to compromise in ways both large and small every day, several times a day. That's what it takes to be successful in relationship. Count the cost. That is, by the way, the essential point Jesus is making in our gospel lesson in Luke 14. There Jesus is talking about what it means to enter into relationship with him. What he says there, I think, is instructive, because a relationship with God is not unlike a relationship with a spouse. And both of them, both our relationship with God and our relationship with a spouse, both of them are intense, encompassing relationships. So I think we can gather some wisdom about what Jesus has to say about a relationship with God. In Luke 14, by the time we reach this chapter, multitudes of people are following Jesus. And they're following Jesus because they have witnessed his miracles. They have been fed loaves and fishes by him. And many of them, I think, have started to think that relationship with Jesus is all about me. It's about what I want and Jesus taking care of those needs. And sensing this in the crowd, he turns to them and gives them a dose of reality therapy. Jesus says, if you want to be in relationship with me, your commitment to this relationship must be so encompassing that all other commitments in life pale by comparison. If you want to be in relationship with me, you've got to be willing to take up your cross, to sacrifice daily. Then Jesus tells a story about an individual who sets up to build a tower. He gets halfway done and he cannot finish it because he's out of money. He made the mistake of not at the very outset to calculate whether or not he had the wherewithal to finish what he was about to begin. Think about that. Jesus says, before you enter into a relationship with me, or by extension, before you enter into any encompassing relationship in life, count the cost. Are you willing to pay the price? Here, then, it seems to me, I think, is the foundational point for today's sermon. When we are thinking about a relationship with another person, a spouse, we have to realize that it's going to be costly. And we have to ask ourselves, am I truly willing to pay the price? And if the answer to that is yes, John, I've carefully considered this with an open heart and an open mind. The rose-colored glasses have been removed. And yes, I want companionship enough that I'm willing to pay a heavy price. Then that leads us to just a couple of further considerations. If being in a spousal relationship is truly that costly, then we had better select our spouse with utmost care. When I was in college years ago, I had a psychology professor say to us over and over again, when you are searching for a spouse, take the time to find someone who is like you. Now, he didn't mean someone who is like you in a superficial sense, but in the broadest and deepest sense. And he went on to spell it out a little further. If you're searching for a spouse, he said, take the time to find someone with the same beliefs, interests, and goals. It forms an acronym, B-I-G. Beliefs, interests, and goals. If I try to merge my life with someone who has significantly different beliefs, interests, and goals, look out. Because the greater the gulf between my beliefs, interests, and goals, the more challenging it will be to merge our lives together. It's a simple lesson, but one we sometimes have to learn the hard way. I know I did. In my late 20s, when I was first dealing with coming out, I got involved with a person I'll call Mark. It's not his real name. We met when mutual friends introduced us to each other. And Mark had three things going for him. He was handsome. And number three, he was handsome. But the longer we were together, dating, spending time together, the more I realized that my initial starry-eyed reaction to him wasn't going to be enough to sustain this relationship. I was a person of faith. He was not. I wanted to eventually live openly and honestly with family and friends. He did not. And then one evening, we were having a conversation on his back porch, and I'll never forget this. He started teasing me about how quaint and old-fashioned it was that I wanted to marry somebody for life. And it was like the fog just lifted. It hit me like a ton of bricks. We are so different that we will never be able to make this merger work. So we ended up going through a painful breakup. Friends, I think that God wants us to have long-lasting relationships because you can't get to some of the good stuff until later on in relationships. So we shouldn't feel like we ever have to rush into relationships. And we should give ourselves enough time to find a person who is like you. That's not just the advice of some college professor. It's also the wisdom of Holy Scripture. 2 Corinthians 6:14. The Apostle Paul puts it this way: do not be mismatched with unbelievers. The Greek word translated mismatched there literally means unequally yoked. In the ancient world, it was common but frowned upon practice, especially for poor farmers, to link together, to yoke together two very different animals, different sizes, different strengths. And when you link together two animals of different sizes or strengths, it was especially cruel to the smaller animal to try to keep up pulling that much weight. And I think by using that dramatic analogy, Paul is reminding us that as followers of Jesus, we are, or at least we're supposed to be, a different species. If I try to yoke myself together with someone who has dramatically different beliefs, someone who has a completely different perspective on life, the odds are going to be slim that we can hold that together and plow in the same direction over the long haul. The sooner we learn that lesson, the sooner we can save ourselves some great hardship in life. If you're in the stage of life where you are looking for someone, make sure you take the time to find someone whose beliefs, whose interests, whose goals are sufficiently compatible with yours that you're willing to blend your life with that person. But there's one final point that needs to be made about this. And it follows close on what I've just said. When you enter into a relationship with somebody, don't be fooled by the initial rush of romantic excitement. When a relationship is just beginning, there is, as you know, an initial rush of excitement that is fantastic to experience. But those initial feelings, I think, can sometimes eclipse the real issues going on in another person's life. If you want to know why over half of the relationships in our society fail, here it is. After several years of excitement and discovery, as that begins to fade, a couple begins to realize that if this relationship is going to last, we're going to have to dig into our issues. We're going to have to work on ourselves. We're going to have to make some hard decisions and some compromises. And that's when someone who has entered a relationship expecting it to be Fantasy Island begins subconsciously saying to himself, I didn't sign up for this. I don't want to work on myself. I don't want to have to lose parts of my autonomy. And that's when people sometimes start saying things like, I don't know why, but I just don't feel the way I used to anymore. What that person really means is the excitement of discovery is gone, and I'm not willing to do the hard work of making love. This is why we should not be in a hurry with someone we are working on a relationship with. If we've entered into a relationship and we think this is the one, then time is on our side. Even as we are talking about this, some of you may be sitting there with a sinking feeling inside. Some may be saying, you know, John, if I'm honest, my partner and I really sort of rushed things together. And as I hear you talking, I'm starting to worry that maybe we are unequally yoked. I'm the ox, he's the ass. What do I do? So please listen. So often in life, we give up our power. So often we play the role of victim. When you hear someone say things like, you know, I guess we've just grown apart. We just don't feel the way we used to. People say that as if they're passive actors in some unfolding drama that is just happening to them. And that's nonsense. We can affect our environment. Especially as Christians, we can pray. We can bring God into our relationship. So if you're in a relationship that feels like it's starting to pull apart, plowing in different directions, do not quickly give up on that. Because there is a way to bring that back together. Do you remember the show All in the Family? You can see reruns sometimes, I think. I used to watch it many years ago, and I remember one episode where Gloria and Michael are starting to have problems. They've been together for several years now. They have a child who's about a year old. Gloria has been preoccupied with taking care of the baby. Michael has been preoccupied with building his career as a college professor. And one day they wake up and they realize they're growing apart. And if we don't do something, we're going to end up in disaster. So they decided to just take a day of togetherness. Edith agrees to watch the baby. So as they begin this day of togetherness, they get the idea that they should be physically intimate. So as they start up, they discover it feels really awkward. It feels forced. That leads to tension, which leads to a really big argument. And eventually, Gloria ends up stomping out of the house, ends up next door at the kitchen table talking to Edith. "Ma," she says, "after I was born, did you ever find yourself not wanting to be with Daddy?" Of course, this goes right over Edith's head. She thinks she's talking about something else. "No, Ma," Gloria says, "did you ever find yourself ever not wanting to be with Daddy?" Oh, she says. "Gloria," she says, it was exactly the same with your father and me. After you were born, I was so busy with you, and your dad was so busy with his job, and before long, we weren't spending any time together. And one morning, I woke up and I thought to myself, there's a stranger in my bed. And I decided that I was going to start spending more time with your father. And then all the feelings came back. Gloria, spend some time with Michael. And before long, who knows what you'll be doing with him." I think there's some wisdom in Edith's homespun advice. If you feel like you're in a relationship that's pulling apart, step back, compare your beliefs, your interests, your goals, and figure out where you need to work together, even compromise, so that you can start plowing in the same direction. Long-term spousal relationships are beautiful. Unfortunately, many people in this world never get to experience that. People cycle through relationships. Once they start getting difficult, they just start another one, and on. But it doesn't have to be that way. Lifetime spousal relationships can be wonderful. Someone to hold hands with, someone to share your body with, someone to keep vigil at your hospital bed with, someone to hang out with, someone to pray with, someone to raise kids and pets with. There are few things in this world more beautiful than that. But we must decide, do we really want to be in relationship? And are we willing to pay the price? Amen.